You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Arkansas has lost three straight games, coming off a 38-23 loss to Auburn on Saturday at Razorback Stadium. The Razorbacks have one more game before they get a week off. They'll play Arkansas Pine Bluff this Saturday at War Memorial Stadium in Little Rock. And like the last few weeks, it'll be an 11 a.m. kickoff, so another breakfast with the Razorbacks. Matt Jones with Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated and Scotty Bordelon of Whole Hog Sports. And guys, do you remember the sitcom in the late 80s, early 90s, Growing Pains? You know, the Seaver family? That's kind of what it reminds me Arkansas is going through right now. The depth, I think, is such an issue. And by what I mean by that is that Arkansas doesn't have the depth right now to offset the injuries that they're having to players like Jalen Catalon and some of these others who have gone out of Dorian Gerald. They've got a little bit better depth on the defensive line. But it's just growing pains within a program. You've got to be able to have years and years of building depth and recruiting and evaluating and, you know, building players up within your program for you to be able to withstand injuries. And Clay, it seems to me like, you know, the 4-0 start, it set some expectations for Arkansas that probably weren't realistic given where they are at in this stage of their program.
Yeah, I can remember talking to Sam Pittman in the spring, and I mentioned it looked like depth was better. And he says, it is, but it's still not where we have to be in the SEC. And he just spent a number of years at Georgia, and he knows what depth truly is. When you recruit four stars and they can't get on the field because there's four stars that have been there for 3 years, 4 years, or maybe their fifth year. And that's where Arkansas wants to be. Yeah, I mean, they don't have to get to that level to have better depth, but it's the preseason when we were talking about, well, what are the expectations for Arkansas? And, you know, I thought it was seven, with the possibility of maybe eight, but seven was the number that I came up with. And there were a lot of people saying 6-6. And I know Dudley Dawson on our staff, I think said 6-6, and some said 5-7. And then they won four straight, and you changed the expectations a little bit. And I can remember talking to someone, well, what can they do now? And I said, just depends on if they stay injury free. Well, they haven't. And among the players that have been injured this year, Grant Morgan, you know, knee injury. Ricky Stromberg, knee injury. Jalen Catalon, broken hand, two shoulder injuries. You know, you go down the list. Trey Williams was playing with two or three injuries, depending on who you listen to, for a while, and I think he's still beat up. So, yeah, the depth is a problem. It's going to get better. They've got young players in the pipeline already on campus that are going to get better, and their recruiting is taking a huge upswing.
I think one of the issues too is that, you know, you have an injury to a guy on your first team defense per se, like, for example, Jalen Catalon done for the year. So his replacement is a guy like Miles Slusher. Well, Miles Slusher hasn't been healthy, you know, for since the preseason, really. And last year he was injured too. I think he had a high ankle sprain. He was battling last year, didn't play just a whole lot. And then, you know, Catalon goes down and he's done for the year. And now Slusher is dealing with, I think it's a hamstring or a quad right now, but he's healthier, but he's still not, you know, in peak playing shape. So that's just kind of some of the things that you're dealing with. And then you could probably even go to right tackle with Dalton Wagner. You know, he's missed time with that injured finger that he had surgically repaired. And, you know, somebody asked Sam Pittman on Monday how he thought Ty Clary filled in for Wagner. And the first thing Pittman mentioned is that Clary's, you know, he's dealing with, you know, a back or some kind of another nagging injury too. So, you know, the guys who were filling in for injured guys, they're not even, you know, completely healthy. And so that depth is going to have to improve over time. It's not just going to happen, you know, in a year and a half.
Yeah. Talked about Ty Clary. He's your backup at five spots. that tells you where your offensive line is. And I think they've recruited some good offensive linemen, but fifth-year guys are, you know, are better than first-year guys in the offensive line. If you're, you know, you want to play a 22-year-old or an 18-year-old. So that's in the depth will improve dramatically over the next years in the offensive line when competition will be a real strong point in that area.
Arkansas is just not the same team they were when they beat Texas and Texas A&M. When you take away Catalan and Wagner and Markell Etsy and Ladarius Bishop, it just changes things. And the thought right now, of course, Catalan's out with the season-ending shoulder surgery. The thought right now, the indications that we've gotten are that Wagner and Utsi and probably Bishop are going to be back by the Mississippi State game. And so if you can get through this week, the next 2 weeks, when you talk about depth, I think are really big for the program, because you play Arkansas Pine Bluff this week. And if they don't beat Pine Bluff by a margin that allows the third teamers to get into the game, you know, sometime with significant minutes to play, I think it's going to be surprising. And then you go into that bye week. And so the next couple of weeks, Clay, are really big for development, because you see this a lot of times where players kind of emerge late in the season because they've grown up a lot since August camp, and they become players who can help your football team. I think about like a Casey Dick, what he did in 2005. That looked like a little bit of a different football team in November whenever he came in and played quarterback for him. And you can go on and on down the list. There have been a number of examples like that. It wouldn't surprise me if once you get to Mississippi State week, you're going to see more players that you haven't seen earlier this season get more snaps.
Yeah, and the guy that probably needs some time off that nobody even is talking about is probably KJ Jefferson. He's taking some hits. And you know, I heard somebody say, well, he should have ran it more against Auburn. Well, he took a lot of hits the week before. You know, there might have been a thought, let me throw these passes and not take the hit in the open field. I think Malik Hornsby is probably going to get some snaps this week if they can get a lead. And I think he's a guy that probably can really torch a defense like UAPB and post some big numbers, both running and passing. And he needs some time. And this is the kind of game where the young backs, and you know, maybe you get some of the, you know, maybe Crawford and St. John get some time in the offensive line. Hudson Henry gets to play a little bit in his hometown. It's, you know, some of those defensive linemen get some rest. Yeah, there would be take care of business early, watch out for turnovers, protect the ball, and might turn out like that, Matt, where even your third teamers get some time.
Yeah, I've looked at UAPB. When they have played FBS teams in the last 10 years, the average score of their games is 53-5. I think that it's going to be a pretty easy game for the Razorbacks. And it's going to, like we said, it's going to really present an opportunity, Scotty, for us to see players that we haven't got to see a whole lot of this year.
No doubt. And just to Clay's point about KJ getting hit, if I can, you know, those body blows, man, they add up over time. And you talk about the tough stretch of the schedule that Arkansas, you know, just went through. Like, you're doing that without a break pretty much. And KJ's being asked to play, you know, about 99% of those snaps and run the ball, be a key piece in the running game to get that rolling. And then you're asking him to throw it a lot. And then sometimes when, you know, he drops back to pass, the best thing for him to do is run. And, you know, he gets hit more often than not. And you see those really add up, and I would imagine his body is not feeling great. It kind of the same deal with Matt Corral at Ole Miss. I think he ran the ball 30 times against Tennessee the other night, partly because, you know, running the ball was the best thing for that offense, but he's doubtful for this week's game against LSU. I think you got to protect your quarterback. And I get, you know, you can't always control how many times KJ runs the ball. It's kind of dictated on whether receivers can get open or if there's a running lane for him. But this is a prime week for KJ to get some rest. And then the next week, get him some more rest. Don't touch him and just let that body heal. Because there's still some very winnable games down the stretch. And Sam Pittman thinks they can make a run, but it starts with getting healthy. And it begins with KJ, you know, being, you know, in peak shape. I look for Malik to play quite a bit. A guy that I'm kind of interested in that we're not really talking about just a whole lot, but it, you know, if Arkansas can get ahead pretty comfortably against UAPB, I'm going to be eager to see a guy like Chris Paul. I think they call him Pooh Paul. I think he's got some real potential at that linebacker spot. He might be one of the guys that you see play, you know, a bigger role next year. And then, you know, if I had to pinpoint a couple of other guys, maybe on the offensive line, it's Tykes Crawford. I think you need to get him some time. And Jalen St. John, those are two guys that Sam Pittman really likes a lot. He's been pushing some of the guys on the interior who have been playing with those two guys. And I think you'll see them. It's time to, you know, get them some pretty valuable in-game reps.
One of the things I thought that happened on Saturday, Clay, was Auburn played one of its best games of the year. I was looking at Pro Football Focus numbers. They said that Bo Nix had the best passing rating or best passer rating, or maybe it was accuracy, of quarterbacks who are under duress. It's a type of game that we haven't seen him play this year. He hasn't really been a pocket passer. Arkansas did a good job of not allowing him to get outside the pocket and extend plays, but he really hurt the Razorbacks making passes from within the pocket. Sam Pittman said that he thought he had defenders in the right place at a lot of times on Saturday, and Auburn just made the plays, and sometimes that's how the game goes.
Yeah, I think that talking with a couple of Auburn guys before the game, that they commented that Nix had played fairly well in a couple of other games this season, but the receivers had just dropped a lot of passes. And the number they gave me from the previous 2 weeks were 13 drops, 4 in the end zone. And they had one drop for sure of a wide open guy in the end zone against Georgia early in the game that might have changed the feel of that game a little bit. And their receivers made those catches and against Arkansas. And I think if you go back and if you look at Arkansas's early games, and I commented on this in one of our podcasts, the Texas game, their receivers were running open and quarterbacks either missed them or they dropped passes. Both happened in that game. Well, Auburn made them pay, and so did Ole Miss. They, you know, Ole Miss hit their receivers perfectly, Corral did, and so did Nick. So you ran up against two hot quarterbacks. That's kind of what we talked about earlier in the year, that Arkansas's were, you know, they took advantage of quarterbacks that didn't play well or maybe weren't supremely talented. And I think that we've always said Nick's had talent, and they had wide receiver problems for several games this year. Those didn't materialize against Arkansas.
If that wasn't Bo Nix's best game, you know, maybe in his time at Auburn, it had to be really close. I think Matt may have mentioned that after the game the other day, but I think his 292 yards were like his most since Auburn's bowl game last year. And his QB rating was as high as it was, as it's been this season since like their season opener against Akron. And there's an advanced stats tab in the stat broadcast that we look at during games. And on passes 5 to 14 yards downfield, I think he was 10 of 11, which is pretty good. And then he was 3 of 5 on deep balls for, I think, 170-something yards and a couple touchdowns. So he was really good. That wasn't his A game. I mean, it was B-plus at worst. I mean, he was really good. And I thought his decision-making was really good. He was crisp, and they got the ball out quick and just kind of made Arkansas's defense react to what he was doing.
I've heard Auburn fans remark before, you know, you've got good Bo and you've got bad Bo. And when you got bad Bo, that's when Auburn is in these head-scratching games like they were with Georgia State earlier this year. But when you have good Bo, they can play with just about anybody. And that was certainly the case on Saturday. They outplayed Arkansas. One of the other takeaways I had from Saturday's game was the play of Treylon Burks. Of course, he's played well all season, but I don't know that they have faced a secondary that was as good as Auburn's. You've got players like Smoke Monday and Roger McCreary. Those are future NFL players in the back end of the Auburn defense. There may be others back there too. Ole Miss, that's not a very good pass defense. You do the kind of things that he did on Saturday against Auburn, Clay, that really gets your attention, I think.
Yeah, and I think that the Auburn run defense is really good too. And, you know, it was strength against strength, and Auburn's strength won in a lot of those matchups. And I think that even though Treylon had some big plays in that game, I thought Auburn did a good job of when they could, shading a safety to Burks, and Smoke Monday did not have to play in the run defense, and that is a major benefit. If they can control run with their front six, and that's what they were playing. They played a light box and still controlled the run. I mean, Arkansas got running yards, but those first down plays, they stuffed an awful lot of them in the third quarter. And, you know, that was when Arkansas had a chance to take control of the game. They scored the end of the first half, scored to start the second half. And, you know, you think, okay, now we're going to run the ball. And if you go back and you look at the Texas A&M game and the Texas game and some others, when Arkansas got the lead, they ran the ball effectively. They could not in this game in the third quarter. And it was a major momentum flip when they had the lead and couldn't score.
What I think what Treylon Burks is doing right now, he's having a really good season, like Clay said, and what both of you guys said. It kind of reminds me of like a few years ago when, you know, Daniel Gafford would go for like 23-12 in an SEC game at Arkansas. I mean, he played really well, but Arkansas would lose and we wouldn't really talk about it. Or Mason Jones would go for 30 points and, you know, 8 or 9 assists and Arkansas would lose and we didn't really talk about it. But we just kind of come to expect at a certain point, like, this is just what Treylon Burks does. He makes superhuman catches, highlight reel catches, makes them look effortless, finishes a game with 9 grabs, 109 yards and 2 touchdowns. And we're not, like, nobody's writing about him. Nobody's really talking about him just because we understand that he's that great. It's just kind of like, it's just kind of another Saturday for him. But he's, you know, he's first round talent. I mean, he's special. I'm really going to try to enjoy watching him play the last 5 weeks of the season, more so the last 4 games that Arkansas plays, because he's not going to play much on Saturday, but he's pretty incredible.
Yeah. The thought was that I've heard this week, the same thing to your point that I heard when Gafford was playing. Well, he got 26. Well, why didn't he get 35? It's like, well, wait a minute. It's like he did what he could. And there's guys all over him. They're doubling him. He's kicking it out. Sometimes when he would kick it out, they would miss the shots. So what I heard after Saturday night, a guy that I ran into on the way home is like, why don't they just throw it up more for Treylon? Well, they did throw it up for him some, and he caught it. But you got to do other things, and you got to expect other guys to make some plays. And, you know, when it says to run the ball against the light box, then that's probably what you're going to do. That was one of the first times that they have played that kind of a defensive plan, and they weren't able to take advantage of it with their running game.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Visit them online at gocallbud.com.
Bud Anderson is proud to be the official heating and cooling provider for the Arkansas Razorbacks. This partnership will support all Razorback athletics for over 400 student athletes across 19 sports. Woo pig!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
If you go throughout the history of Arkansas football and you look at the coaches who have been the most successful, year 2 has always been drastically better than year 1. look at Frank Broyles. He was 9-2 in his second season after 4-6. Lou Holtz, that was a little bit different story because they were so good in his first season, won the Orange Bowl, but they were 9-2-1 after an 11-1 season. Ken Hatfield, 10-2 after 7-4-1. You can go down the list, Houston Nutt, Bobby Petrino. Clay, where do we see Sam Pittman right now in year two versus where he was in year one? And how do you think that speaks to what his career arc might look like?
Yeah, I had a guy ask me this week, is when are they going to be number one again? I'm like, what do you mean? He says, when are we going to get back to being number one? And when are we going to be like Georgia and LSU? And I said, you mean like all the times in Arkansas's history that they've been number one? And he goes, yeah, all those years. And I said, well, it's a seven-day window in 1965. They beat North Texas, went to number one. Michigan State won that week in a big upset in a great shootout game, and they weren't number one anymore. That's the only time. So you take that in perspective. Well, where is Arkansas's program and where are they going? Well, you know, they've been top 10 this year, which was a major achievement. Didn't stay there. You get to top 10 and then you lose three straight. It's been a tough October, but we kind of looked at the schedule before the season and you circled this stretch of games and knew it was going to be the really the toughest part. You got Alabama at the end of the year. Yeah, I get that. But where they're at is where I thought they would be, which is improvement. Their depth isn't there. But as far as where they're going, I think that they're still got a lot of room to ascend. I think Sam Pittman has done the right things. You know, what was it after the Texas game that he said, we're going to lose some games this year. Hold on. It's not, you know, but I think when you beat Texas and Texas A&M, you need to keep in perspective those programs probably were not at their peak. You know, they weren't vintage. Both of them were, you know, trying to figure out their quarterback, and that's a major deal in college football. Arkansas's not going to lose every game the rest of the way. I think they're going to get healthy, and but where they are in year two is light years ahead of where they were 2 years ago. They were at an all-time low, the abyss free-falling. There was no end in sight. And so you give a lot of credit to Sam Pittman. I know people are frustrated right now. There's people like, when are they going to win again? Well, they're going to win this week, and they'll probably win pretty big. They get Mississippi State after an open date week. I think that's a big game for Sam right now.
I look at their November schedule, and I think Mississippi State's a winnable game. Of course, it's in Fayetteville, like you said, off a bye week. I think Missouri is a very winnable game right now. It's in Fayetteville. There's a lot of motivation to beat Missouri for many reasons. I think LSU is a winnable game when they go down to Baton Rouge in November. Not saying they'll win all three of those, but I think all three of them, you look at them and say Arkansas has got a really good chance to win those games. LSU is an interesting deal to me because, you know, what are they going to look like the rest of the season? It's basically a lame duck season at this point for Ed Orgeron. Sam Pittman even, he was hesitant to really say anything about the LSU situation when he was asked about in his press conference this week. But he did offer that he thinks it would be very difficult to continue coaching a team after you have said you're not going to coach there any longer.
Matt, good points. And I would also say that what you don't know, and this is my take, always is, when you're sitting in October, you don't know what November is going to look like. Injuries change dramatically the course of a season, and it only takes one. The injury that hits your quarterback is the devastating type of situation. You know, you just think about, well, Matt Corral, you know, what's Ole Miss? And they've lost a lot of players. But as long as they got Matt Corral, they got a chance any week. I think when you're looking at Arkansas, as long as you've got KJ Jefferson, you're feeling pretty good about your chances. So a healthy KJ Jefferson. But you lose one player, and it changes the fortunes of your season. You know, it's the same thing for any of the teams in November, and each week is a season unto itself. Who's got who? You know, one team loses a couple players, and you know that's why you see the odds in Las Vegas really change dramatically from week to week, and it's based on injuries. And, you know, the SEC, you will have injuries, no doubt about that.
I'm looking at Arkansas's remaining schedule right now, and I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility at all to win four of them. And, you know, it starts this week. You need to, you know, go take care of business. You know, you'd like to be able to do that with primarily your second and third team guys, but then you get healthy. You know, you get right a little bit on defense, especially, and get KJ healthy. You know, you can beat Mississippi State. Like, they're susceptible to a clunker of a game, and, you know, Arkansas can have something to do with that if they regroup on the defensive side of the ball. But the LSU game, I think, is really interesting, because, like, you guys are right. Like, you don't know what LSU is going to look like at that point, and never know what kickoff time you're going to get. I wouldn't imagine you would get a night game. Maybe that's just my thought on it. I might be completely wrong, but that won't be KJ Jefferson's first time going to Baton Rouge, even if they do play a night game. So he's going to be a little bit more comfortable in that environment. And with all those injuries to LSU secondary, that seems like a game where KJ Jefferson and Treylon Burks can, you know, kind of feast on LSU right there. And then you get Alabama the next week on the road, which is really, really tough. And you close out with Missouri. Like, I see four winnable games down the stretch. And that's, I think that's part of the reason why Sam Pittman said that, you know, he's pretty confident his team can make a run.
Yeah, you said a mouthful just then, Scotty, the defense get right. That's been the issue for the last 10 years. Yeah, the last decade for Arkansas, they haven't stopped anybody in November. And they've got to get their secondary healthy. They've got to get their defensive line where they have some pass rush. And you know, I think they've asked a lot of their three linebackers. They have to make every tackle. I saw guys in the secondary miss tackles. You know, at the end of the game, Simeon Blair's head up on Bo Nix, and Bo Nix shouldn't beat him in the open field, and he didn't touch him. So that's the issue, is to get right on defense.
And getting healthy at linebacker is hugely important. Those guys are banged up. Like you said, they've been asked to do so much stuff. And Sam Pittman said, you know, defensively, they're not making plays that they were earlier in the year. It's because they're banged up. But, you know, you've got A gap and B gap presence with those linebackers, and you're just not making those plays right now. Those are plays that Bumper Pool and Grant Morgan can make in their sleep, you know, when they're fully healthy. And then on the edge, you know, the guy like Trey Williams, you know, he's been, you know, dinged up, you know, all throughout the year. You got presence on the edge. You're just not making plays. I think if you're healthy, you're making those plays. And that's why these next 2 weeks are so big for all of those guys.
I need to correct something I said. Houston Nutt, actually, they lost one more game in his second season than his first season, kind of a similar instance to the Lou Holtz year one to year two. They had such a great year one. Scotty, you mentioned the LSU game on November 13th. There aren't a lot of great games that day in the SEC. There are some other intriguing SEC versus SEC matchups, so it's really hard to see what they're going to do with TV. Georgia's at Tennessee that day. I'm going to bet that's a morning kickoff. They're going to put Tennessee in timeout for what happened the other night during a night game. I don't think they're going to get another night game at Neyland this year. And I use that as a transition into the last thing I want to talk about, and that's officiating. There were two really big key calls that I thought went Auburn's way in the game on Saturday. There was the forward progress that disallowed an Arkansas recovered fumble deep in Auburn territory early in the game. Who knows how the game plays out if Arkansas recovers that? It might be a completely different, you know, story that we're writing on the first half. And then obviously there was the pass interference call in the fourth quarter against Hudson Clark on a ball that was over his head and uncatchable. Auburn only ends up getting a field goal out of that, but it's a lot shorter field goal attempt for a really good kicker, Anders Carlson. We saw what happened with Tennessee the other night and how things boiled over, the fans upset with the officiating. Ironically, I think the officials got that call right in terms of, you know, where he was on the field. I haven't seen a view of that play that shows anything different than the call on the field. But Clay, people are fed up with the officiating and big officiating mistakes that are playing roles in some of these games. I thought they played a big role in the Arkansas game the other day. What can you do to have better officiating, or is there anything you can do that the SEC office can do?
The major thing that I've heard, and I've talked to replay guys, they're not getting enough views. And they had seven big games this weekend. There are the CBS game usually has 10 more cameras at those games because CBS comes in with their truck, but the rest of the games are done with local broadcast teams. And I'm talking about the schools team. They'll have one camera on the goal line. You'll get a look from one side. Well, if there's three players in the way, that may not be the look you want. You may want to look from the other side. There's not a camera there. So everybody that sees the CBS game or a Monday night football game where you see look after look after look after look, I never saw the view that would tell where the ball was because they didn't have a camera on that side of the field. And there's usually just cameras for these lesser broadcast crews just on the press box side. So that's where you get. Now, I will say no one commented on that play. I thought it should have been a targeting call. The Ole Miss player came in with his shoulder and hit the Tennessee tight end straight in the head, right in the top of the head, right on the crown, and it snapped his head to the left. You can just see it go. And early in the year, that was a targeting foul every single time. And everybody was worrying about where the spot is. I said, well, you're reviewing the play. Why is that not targeting? So, I mean, it is a tough job. I would not want to be a referee. I would not want to be a replay guy. But I think that the real answer is if you're paying $45 million to the schools every year, you tell them, I want more cameras in your stadium.
Well, and it's about to be a lot more than that when the new ESPN agreement kicks in about 2 or 3 years. I've said a few times, I don't like the fact that ESPN is going to have a monopoly on SEC games. You know, I watch these games a lot of times from a production, you know, viewpoint lens, and CBS has such a better production than ESPN does for its games. And the camera angles, that's just one way. But here in a few years, you're only going to get ESPN games. You're not going to have those CBS games where they bring all those cameras in. And so unless ESPN makes some changes to how it does its productions, I don't know if it does get better. So it's certainly interesting to watch. I do think a lot of Tennessee fans are deflecting their bad behavior on the officiating and not necessarily on the problems that they had within themselves the other night. Arkansas and UAPB later this week, like we said, 11 a.m. kickoff. We will take a little bit deeper look at the game on Friday when we're back with our next podcast. Don't know how deep we're going to get into talking about UAPB because I just don't think that they're a team that can hang with Arkansas. Yeah, but we'll talk about some things. We'll talk about games in Little Rock and obviously what we've learned from the Razorbacks in our meeting with Sam Pittman and players since then. So we'll be back Friday with another podcast. For Clay Henry and Scotty Bordelon, I'm Matt Jones. Hope you'll visit us at wholehogsports.com, and thanks for joining us.
The preceding has been a production of wholehogsports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at wholehogsports.com for the latest news and commentary.